AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's RUBRIK.com.
Menards Black Friday sale is here. Get everything you need to bring home the holidays. A Nerf Blaster dog toy blasts tennis balls 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious Dubai chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing squish lamps and Performax drill bit sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Hurry in while supplies last. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.
Welcome to the podcast.
Well, hey guys, and welcome back to the podcast. I got a special treat on this one. On this episode, I am joined by my lovely wife, and I'm going to have her, I wanted to bring her on because she actually taught our teenagers last Wednesday, and I thought it was a really good message with a lot of thought behind it, and so I wanted to ask her to come on and to share kind of what she discussed, and we'll just kind of discuss it as we go. So, my love, what's the questions that you started out with last week?
So, the questions I had last week were, why God? Why Christianity? Why the Bible? Why Jesus or the Holy Spirit? Why this world? Why me and our family? You know, there are so many ideas and teachings or religions, opinions out there. Why this God and Christianity?
So elaborate for me of what you mean, like, why God? Like, are we asking why God did this happen, or?
So I think more so along the lines of why this God to me? Why does this one being, this one life, this one book being the Bible, how can it cause such an uproar, and why is it so important to me, and why do I choose it?
So we're referring to, like, why, okay, so, like, why God, why Jesus over, like, Buddha?
Right.
Or Muhammad, or why the Bible over the Quran?
Right. What makes it so much more special than all the others?
Because you don't see people have, and from what I see in life, you don't see people getting an uproar and a tizzy because someone says Muhammad.
Right.
But if you say the name of Jesus and profess it, and if he was to try to walk like Jesus today as Jesus did then, you're going to cause problems.
Yeah.
And so what brought this thought?
There was actually a song that I had been listening to, and during my study time, my alone time with God, I like to listen to worship music, and, you know, it took me quite a few songs to get there, but when this song started playing, it just started making me think. And the song is So Good to Me by Elevation Worship. And when I heard the lyrics to that song, I just felt like these questions come in my head, like, why God? Why did I choose God? Why did I choose to follow Jesus you know, what did he do in my life that made him better than any other god or religion that's out there?
So when I hear you talk this out, I'm trying to think how to word this. When I hear you talk some of that out as far as why Jesus to me, this is a relational question.
It is.
Like, this is not just head knowledge.
No.
I mean, it's just like this podcast. We can talk about a lot of stuff and we can make a lot of good points, but until someone experiences it for themselves.
Right.
It's like, go ahead.
And I think that's one of the main things I wanted to get across to our teenagers is, you know, reading the Bible and knowing the Bible and the words that are in it is wonderful, absolutely wonderful. But can you tell me why you choose him? You know, to an extent, I feel like that's really important for them to grasp at this age, is what he means to you, what he's done to you, you know, for you, to where nobody can change your mind. You know, and I'd actually did a little activity with them where I asked them questions and asked them if I could change their mind on their opinions of, you know, your favorite actor, your favorite color, your favorite
favorite holiday,
your best friend that you have in the world. And it's like, okay, well, what if I came up to you and said, you know, I don't think your favorite color should be this, it should be this. Is that going to change your mind? And they were like, well, no, not really. Why? Explain to me why. I want them to be able to defend their why for Jesus to themselves so that they can't be shaken just because somebody comes up to them and tells them not to, or gives them a reason, or really no good reason, to say you shouldn't believe in him.
It kind of reminds me of when I was doing college and taking apologetics. And it was all about, if I remember correctly, the apologetics class I was in was all about getting inside of someone's argument to flip it. Mm-hmm. So if all they have is head knowledge, for example, of really good Bible stories, or maybe you're telling your experiences to them and they're getting all this information, but somebody comes along and tries to make something sound good that's not true,
mm-hmm.
they could flip them.
Right.
Because, well, I mean, that's how the enemy works.
Mm-hmm. Something better comes along, or he'll put people in your path that you think have it all together and that you admire, but deep down, you know, they may not have a strong foundation like you do, or like others do, or they may try to lead you down the wrong path. But can you, with confidence and boldness, you know why you believe what you believe, or why you choose to believe what you believe, so that no one can turn you from it?
So that, it's kind of like you can't take, because you made a point when you first started that about how he likes to kind of dress things up and make things look good.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the world that we live in, even on the TikTok and the Facebook and everything else, it's easy to see a
facade.
It's easy to see a 30-second picture of someone's life, and we automatically think that's what their life is like, but we don't see the other 23 hours of their day.
Right. Well, I mean, you think about it, someone could be the kindest person in the world for 30 seconds.
And it makes it look really good for a shot, a TV screen, or news interview, or whatever, so it looks pretty, but then when the camera shuts off, then what?
They go home and they could be a totally different person.
So that's why it's important important to answer all this for yourself,
mm-hmm.
and to have the relationship for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And just like for those kind of situations, I believe the Spirit of God gives us discernment so that we can see past the facade.
Right.
But, you know, you even think about the whole why God question and the relational part of it. And I know it's something I talk about a lot, about the whole mindset of the Pharisee. If you go back and read the Gospels, the Pharisees were, and I don't know why, I grew up in church, but I don't know if it ever really registered until recently being maybe a couple years ago,
yeah,
of what a Pharisee was. Like, these were religious teachers. These are people who knew the law inside and out. They would have had to study it, learn it, know it, be able to quote it.
Probably like modern day deacons.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So these are the people that had an issue with Jesus, though.
Mm-hmm.
But they had a whole lot of head knowledge.
Right. But they nothing hadn't had relational. That encounter. Yeah.
And even when they encountered him, there was no even when they encountered him, they couldn't recognize him.
Right, because they had this built up picture in their head of what you know, Jesus should look like, or what God looks like, and not necessarily because of, you know, them and their personal beliefs, but I think it was generationally taught as well. You yes. also have to look at
Menards Black Friday sale is here. Get everything you need to bring home the holidays. A Nerf Blaster dog toy blasts tennis balls 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious to buy chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing squish lamps and Performax drill bit sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Hurry in while supplies last. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.
You know, this was passed down from a long, long time. And it goes back to, you know, those things that you said to our youth about, you know, you're trying to unteach them things that took them 18 years
mm-hmm.
to learn in, what, 3 or 4 weeks?
Yeah.
So
that's what I was trying to do.
Yeah. So, you know, it was hard for them. I, you know, look at it from their perspective, because we can point fingers
mm-hmm.
and say, you know, Pharisees, they didn't even recognize them. But it's like, it's really sad.
Yeah.
That they honestly were just for lack of a better word, you know, like stewards of the Bible.
Yes.
They took care of the scrolls. They took care of the knowledge portion, the history, you know, they took care of all of that. But man, I think of how empty they must be on the inside.
And to think, and I think this is part of what got them, is that when Jesus shows up on the scene, he's nothing like the God that they believed in.
No.
I mean, you take the story I talk about a lot, the woman caught in adultery. When the Pharisees are the ones that bring her before Jesus and say the law, that they said the law of Moses said they get to stone her.
Right.
And, you know, Damon Thompson, who I listened to, made this point, and I never picked up on it until he made it, was Jesus never argued whether they could or could not.
Right.
He did argue if they were qualified.
Hmm.
And the only one who was qualified in the moment to do that chose not to.
Right.
But then you have, and I don't have the exact scripture. I mean, people, you guys can look it up. Google's fantastic for this kind of stuff. But you have the story of Jesus healing a man. I want to say it was a blind man, if I remember the story right. And when he goes before the people, they're like, they want to know, who did this to you? Who healed you?
Mm-hmm.
And he had no idea who Jesus was.
Right.
He just, all he could say was, I have no idea who the man
there
was.
There was this man, yeah.
But all I can tell you is I was blind and now I can see.
Yeah.
So he had the experience that you're talking about.
Yeah.
So you have this experience part, and the Pharisees could argue with him all day long, but this man knew, listen, I don't know who this man was. All I can tell you is before I encountered him, I was blind, and after I encountered him, I can see.
Right.
Like, you can't argue that.
Mm-mm.
You can't tell somebody who was blind and now can see that this man didn't have something.
Yeah, same way with the man at the pool at Bethesda.
Yes.
He had laid there how long? And 38 years?
I was going to say 30-some years.
And, you know, the Pharisees were more concerned that he healed someone on the Sabbath than the man being able to walk.
Like, you would think.
Yeah. That if a man who you had seen day in and day out not be able to walk, just lay there and struggle. And now all of a sudden he's, you know, standing, he's picking stuff up, he's running out of the temple, or not the temple, but the place where he was staying there by the water, and they're mad about it.
I mean, that's crazy to think about, but that's exactly what happens. Is yeah. They're more concerned. Okay, so just take the whole law of the Sabbath. And Jesus, knowing what he's doing, healing people on the Sabbath, knowing that it would infuriate them, still chose to do this. And these people are more upset that he did it on the Sabbath than the fact that these people were healed.
Yeah.
Like,
you can't really imagine it, because I think I'd be like, what? You know, I'd be, you mean you can walk? I've seen you just lay here for 30-some years, and now you're walking?
And now you're walking. Like, what happened to you? Where is this man?
Yeah. Like, so you're going to be mad for someone getting their healing. That's crazy to me.
And that's like reading some of your, since I'm privy to the notes over here, because you asked in the opening, how do you know it's real? How is it real to you? I mean, that's the kind of stuff we're talking about.
Yeah.
Jesus encountered people.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes, these people had relational experience.
Yeah, and sometimes the encounter was for just one person.
I mean, look at the man who's naked in a graveyard, cutting himself with rocks, and one authentic encounter with the Christ.
But look at the ripples.
Yes.
That one person makes.
But that right there, I mean, how do you look at a man who you saw do this, and now when people see him, he's clothed in his right mind.
Yeah.
And now he basically becomes an apostle in that region.
I think I'd be asking questions, not pointing fingers and being mad about it. I think I'd be like, I need to meet this person.
And so,
I need to see him. I need to, you know, figure out what happened.
And so this is one of your questions.
Yeah.
I don't remember everything you said that Wednesday night, because I think both of us and really any of the leaders we have teach try to be obedient to the Holy Spirit. And so just because we have something wrote down, does that mean we actually
get to say it all? Or yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's just how it goes. But there's a question here. If someone questioned you right now, could you be confident enough in your belief in your relationship with the Father that you could stand your ground?
Yeah.
And that was one thing that goes back to our conversation. Pharisees really couldn't do that. But all these different people, I mean, because Pharisees, if you go back and read it, were having private conversations. I mean, even after the resurrection, they're having private conversations trying to pay people off to keep their mouth shut.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that tells me you can't stand your ground if you got to pay somebody off.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that goes back to the whole conversation was having before about you see 30-second snippets of people's life.
Right.
Okay, well, and I'm just going to use this as an example. I'm not here to talk politics, but you take politicians or really big people who are rich, how many people they have to pay off to keep a secret?
Hmm.
Because they don't want nobody to know.
Right. or celebrities for that matter, any kind of
celebrities. That's another perfect example. Yes, yeah. You pay people off so they'll keep their mouth shut about something, so people may not see who you actually are.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, me, you can't do that. We don't have the money to pay somebody off for something.
No, what you see is what you get.
I mean, I'll wear my scars on my... I mean, I don't... It's my story. Like, I can't deny the things that I've had to overcome.
Well, I think society has made it to where you feel like you have to deny what you've overcome because of shame. When in all reality, your scars are
shame
your story.
And guilt.
And God turns that into something beautiful because you can touch other people through your scars.
When it's like the whole verse about... how's it go? God causes all things
to work together.
Causes all things to work together for our good. Mm-hmm. It doesn't say all things are good.
Right.
Bad things are going to happen. We're going to make mistakes. We're going to have issues. But he can take all of that.
Yeah.
And flip it for your good.
Right.
If we'll give it to him.
Right. And I mean, you're still in the world and you're still dealing with people, you know, who haven't been awakened to Christ yet. And, you know, they don't know any better. So you're always going to have...
Ooh, that's key. They don't know no better. It's because it takes us...
to show them.
I mean, we have to be the light.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why Jesus says you're the salt of the earth and the light of the world.
Mm-hmm.
But do we... Are we confident enough?
We don't do all that.
Are we confident enough in our relationship with him that we could do all that?
Yeah.
I
would like to say that we are, but I mean, we're nowhere near where we need to be. I mean, not just personally, I'm talking as a whole anyway, but you know, I don't think the church is anywhere near where they should be.
It seems like it's so much easier to be judgmental.
Right.
And to point other people's... It goes back to the whole verse about you're worried about the splinter in someone else's eye when you have a log in yours.
Right. And you know, this that reminds me of a lesson that I did with one of our groups of teenagers a while back. It wasn't our current group, but, you know, I made them all sit down and go around the room and ask them to say something nice or give a compliment about people in their group, and they struggled.
They did.
Like, some of them were like deer in the headlights, you know.
But yet we're called to speak life.
Right. And I asked them, I'm like, so... But I...
Menards Black Friday sale is here. Get everything you need to bring home the holidays. A Nerf Blaster dog toy blasts tennis balls 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious Dubai chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing squish lamps and Performax drill bit sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Hurry in while supplies last. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.
Guarantee you that if I told you who could come up with the best insult, they would have been throwing them out like nothing.
We could have spit the rest of the class for that.
Yeah. And I said, why is it so much easier to offend and hurt someone and insult someone than it is to speak life and kindness and truth to someone?
I wonder if it's because we don't know truth.
Or we don't
know.
We've
never had an encounter.
The true truth, if that makes sense.
We've never had... Okay, so this is kind of side-noted.
Go ahead.
But do we... Taking that thought and running with it, do we build places as far as our churches and stuff? Do we build places where people can have those encounters and experiences? Or do we just want to rush through our service so we can continue through our day? Okay, so it's like so earlier today we're in here rearranging the living room, and we have we're watching Damon Thompson Ministries Homestead Mobile on YouTube while we're doing that, and there's something, not putting this ministry on a pedestal, but there is something about their worship expression that could change even our living room. And they pretty much was okay, essentially, if I remember right, taking the entire service to focus on one person if needed.
Yeah.
Like, that's unheard of. I mean, no offense to anybody, but that would be unheard of, to allow the Holy Spirit permission to interrupt an entire service to focus on one person.
Yeah, I think nowadays most churches are, you know, kind of set in their ways for their schedule. And, you know, I get that, having an orderly schedule of things. But sometimes it restricts the flow of the Holy Spirit. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, it, you know, that song, you know, he left the 99 to find the one. But
and realizing we're the one.
Right. And most of the time, you know, our service is directed for the 99.
Wow. You know, that's how do I say that? You know, you think about order, because you mentioned order. Mm-hmm. How our services, we got to put them in order and everything. You hear that a lot about in churches, about stuff needs to be done in order.
Right.
And I know this is completely off topic. We've kind of take bunny trails here, but anyhow, you think about order and go read about order in heaven, and order in heaven looks like chaos. Because, you think about it, you've got six winged creatures flying around the throne.
Yeah.
You've got all these people singing thunder. Holy, holy, holy.
You got thunder and lightning.
I mean, you've got all this stuff going on around the throne.
Yeah.
And I know when we got the opportunity to go to Ruach.
Yeah, they did.
Devin Wallace did the whole
presentation. It was really good. Yeah.
And it was amazing. But if you actually look at it and think about it, to us, that would look like chaos.
Thank the Lord for no overstimulation in heaven.
But you think about that, that would look like chaos to us. Especially to me, if you had all that going on at one time.
You'd never make it.
I'd never make it to that. But, yeah, so when we talk about order, I really wonder if we understand what order looks like in the kingdom perspective.
Ah, that's good.
So does order look like allowing the service to only go after the one? Or are we so driven to the 99? Because we need the 99 in participation. We need the 99 to pay their tithes and all this other stuff, that we ignore the one to go after them.
Right.
I mean, it's just a thought.
No, I mean, I get it, because you would think, you know, I'm sure there's churches out there that do it, and I think it's just amazing how when your leadership is in sync, you know, a lot of churches have their leadership that is always in sync with each other. But you take that another level, and you've got it to where your congregation is in sync with the leadership, to where they allow the Holy Spirit to reach the one.
Yes.
And they don't get mad just because, hey, I'm just standing here or sitting here doing nothing. I'm not getting anything out of this. But instead, can you flip your viewpoint?
But are we there
viewpoint?
For you?
Yeah, but do you need someone to do something for you, or can you get there by yourself?
So, I guess the question would become, you know, because I know exactly what you're saying and what you're talking about as far as, how do you say it? As far as some church people having this mentality of, it, you know, I'm not getting anything out of this. This is not anything for me. But in that moment, maybe you're not getting something out, but what are you there for? Like, what are you there to contribute? What are you focusing on in that moment?
Right. You know, you always think, you know, don't be a spectator.
Yes.
Be a participator.
Yes. I think that's one of my pet peeves about altar services is when people are at the altar getting ministered to. If you look in the congregation, it looks like a spectator sport.
Yeah, they're just
and it's very frustrating
looking and watching when
like
you could
if
be
you
praying.
Would, like, what would happen? And this is just an odd, off the wall conversation at this point, but what would happen if during that moment of people being ministered to in an altar, if the rest of the church would engage heaven and actually go after heaven themselves and actually lift him up, seek him, and not be, like you said, a spectator?
And I tell you, the atmosphere that would change.
Like, what else could God do in that moment?
Yeah.
If we would shift our focus off what's happening at the altar and shift our focus to heaven instead.
Right.
Anyhow.
Sorry, the best trips are filled with bunny trails.
That's very true. There will be a part two to this. I'm going through notes trying to think about how we get back on course. And I guess we'll kind of wrap it up with this. So, you know, you've had them do the whole favorite holidays, favorite colors, all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And you made the point of, even when you think about favorite musicians or favorite bands or whatever, if you think about those people or favorite actors, we'll probably never meet these people in person.
Right.
But yet we can defend, and that's how you got it in your notes, we can defend our view of them better than we can God.
Yeah.
The only one who knew us before we were born, the one who breathed life into our lungs.
Mm-hmm.
The very one who created us.
The very one who keeps the people you love dearest or love the most breathing every single day.
Yes. And like you put in here, our best friends we would defend and fight to the end for.
Mm-hmm.
Let someone mistreat them, a sibling, your spouse.
Yeah, my family, my kids, man. Mm-mm.
I mean, you'd fight for these people.
Yeah.
But when it comes to God, we struggle.
We're just like, oh, well, he can defend himself.
Forgetting, and I think the whole conversation kind of ties in. We forget that we were the one.
Mm-hmm.
We forget that we were the one that he loved enough to leave the 99 for. And I think we kind of get...
We become numb.
Yes.
We become...
It's either we become numb, or we're like the Pharisee and have so much head knowledge but not enough heart revelation.
Yeah. Right.
I think, and I'm not going to sit here and stand my ground on this, but I think you've got to be in one of those two categories. You're either going to be, if you're struggling with this, you're either going to, it's because you're numb to it now.
Yeah.
Because and maybe it's because we've heard it so much in church but not seen it demonstrated.
Yeah, and I think, you know, a lot of times people think they're okay. You know, they know a lot more stuff about the Bible and heaven because I grew up in church. You know, I've heard them all. I've seen it all. I've experienced it all. But I, for one, can attest that you have no idea what, you know, God holds for you, because I was the one who grew up in church. You were too. And, you know, it's great to have or to be able to say, hey, I grew up in church. I didn't have, you know, problems A, B, C, and D. But at the same time, it can be just as dangerous because you become numb and you hear the stories so much that you could quote it, that you live it, breathe it, that they stop having power in your life.
So part of me wonders if, and we'll try to close on this note, on this thought, for people to think about. Part of me wonders if You made the point. We both grew up in church. Mm-hmm. Is that where the Pharisee mindset can start? Because you're taught so much stuff that even for my own journey, and I know people don't like the term deconstruction, I kind of feel like it's more reconstruction than deconstruction. But growing up in church caused me to have to unlearn a lot of things, to relearn and allow Holy Spirit to teach me the truth.
Right. Well, I mean, a lot of churches have this standard of, you know, the pastor is the word in some, you know, for lack of better words, he is the word. He is, you know.
You don't question the pastor.
Right. You don't.
I'm thankful our church is not like that.
You don't get to ask questions, or you don't get to say, hey, you know, does this mean this instead? Because it's more of a one-sided conversation. Like, he's talking to you and telling you what God gave him.
Okay.
Go ahead.
So I could, we'll use this as a prime example. John 10:10, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I was always taught growing up that the thief was the devil. That's what I learned in church, that John 10:10, the thief was the devil. But if you read that in context, it's talking about religion, basically.
False prophets.
Yes. So your Pharisees would be in that category, because they're trying to accomplish something by means other than going through Jesus.
Right.
Now, I can argue, too, that the devil could be behind that. I believe that the devil could be the master of religion, but that's not primarily focused on the devil in that scripture. And so when you think about it in the right context, it really changes your viewpoint on it. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of my thing, is have we just gotten to a point we've heard all the stories and everything so much that, like you said, we've become numb to it, and that's how the mindset of the Pharisee begins.
Yeah.
And we don't have the places, and no offense to, I hope more than anything this causes people to examine themselves, and if it's a leader or a pastor, examine their house. But do we have churches, fellowships, communities where people can come together and we can have a place of encounter for people? And not just fill them with a bunch of head knowledge. Because
right.
Even like with what we do with our teenagers, if God shuts down the whole service where I don't get to teach or you don't get to teach, but the Holy Spirit, just like last Wednesday is a perfect example.
It was good. It was so good.
And it was, I mean, Savannah taught, and I thought she did really good. But we had about 20-30 minutes left. She didn't have a long message. And I think it was for a reason. And when you step back, and I remember looking at you, and you had tears running down your eyes, and just realizing that we wasn't doing all the ministry.
Yeah.
They were ministering to each other.
Yeah.
Our leaders that were under us at one point were ministering to the teenagers.
Yeah.
So if we can step out of the way and have built a place to where people, obviously teaching's important, but can you build a place of authentic encounter for, you know, for us teenagers to come in, for churches, people to come in who are struggling.
Desperate.
Hopeless. And have a place to where they can encounter this God that we teach.
Yeah. And I think drawing it back to, you know, the topic, it's ultimately, you know, what does he mean to you? You know, why, what has he done for you to give you that, you know, I know without a doubt, you know, what is it about him? What have you experienced? What has, you know, the church, you know, allowed, you know, what kind of experiences have they allowed in order for you to have that moment that unshakable moment that you just, you know what all he's done for you, and that you have the confidence in your relationship with him, because that's the beginning of the of a true foundation that you have to have for this walk with him.
And that's, I think that's where the walk begins, is in that moment right there of you having, I mean, it goes back to what Jesus said. Jesus plainly said, follow me. So this would be, I guess, to end it, is those that are listening, you know, take time this week or today or whatever, whenever you're listening to this, and really think about that question. Why God? Why the Bible for you? Why Jesus for you? What do you have a relational experience, or do you just have a bunch of head knowledge? And I mean, here the key is this. Jesus offers an invitation. Holy Spirit offers an invitation. Simply, follow me. Just follow me. That's as simple as it is. I just wrote a devotional, or just released it. It's called Echoes of Eden on Amazon. You can get it on Amazon. Echoes of Eden. And in there, I wrote one on taking a walk. And if you hear a baby in the background, we do have our son with us who's starting to wake up. So this is actually perfect timing. But I actually wrote a devotional on that about taking a walk. And that's really what this whole thing is about, is us learning to take a walk. And so if I could do anything, I think, with this devotional, and I'm going to try to let my wife close us out in prayer, if the baby will cooperate. Parents knows how this can go. But I think this has been my longest podcast. I've really enjoyed doing it this way. I will tell you, this is a preview to season 2 that will come out, I believe, in September. We'll pause after June, take July and August off. And then in September, we'll come back. And I'm revamping a lot. This being my first season on a podcast has taught me some stuff and trying to get used to everything. So there'll be some revamping. Season 2 will have some conversations involved with it. It will be geared toward men more so in season 2. Women you can listen to, but it's going to be geared toward men mostly. For season 2, and I'm excited about it. I've got some people I want to have conversations with and share those conversations with all the podcast community and see where it goes. Hopefully it reaches a lot of people. But if it reaches the one, I'm satisfied with that as well. So I think that's the important part of all of this, is just learning to take the walk. And being able to answer the question why for yourself. Why for your family? Why for your kids? So, honey, do you think you can pray and close us out for this one? Thank you, by the way. I love you.
Love you too. All right. Father God, we thank you. We thank you for the life that you bring to our lives. We thank you for just being you. We thank you for, you know, creation. We just, I don't think there's ever anything I can say better than thank you. God, we give you glory and honor for everything. I pray that, you know, the words in this podcast would touch the hearts of those that you have this word for. And God, that, you know, if someone's out there searching for something, I pray, God, that you would just let this open the door for you to just walk on in and for them to be able to experience you for themselves. and to experience your love and your goodness, God. And God, I thank you for the very breath that you give us day in and day out, and for your goodness. And we praise you and we glorify you, God, in Jesus' name. Amen.
All right, guys, be blessed.
Menards Black Friday sale is here. Get everything you need to bring home the holidays. A Nerf Blaster dog toy blasts tennis balls 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious Dubai chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing squish lamps and Performax drill bit sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Hurry in while supplies last. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.